Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Before we're joined once again by Brian Young, whom, as you know, studies the paranormal, but also is an expert on boxing and wrestling, which may be paranormal subjects depending on your point of view. But before we do that, Tim and I want to talk about one thing ahead of that. Tim, you've been following in our forums the discussion over the controversial book by Valet and Harris, Trinity, I gather, right?
Oh, sure.
A guy named George Wingfield, who's been on the show, by the way, and has a theory that some of these events were government experiments. He is saying, long and short, is that the Trinity episode in 1945 was some kind of government experiment, possibly with chimpanzees. What's your take on that?
Oh, well, we've heard that before. You know, Nick Redfern had a very similar explanation for the Roswell incident in one of his books, that they were using basically handicapped people from, you know, like local asylums and stuff for test flights. And we do know that NASA, you know, we're using rhesus monkeys and eventually chimps. Ham the chimp was probably the most famous one known. But in 1945, that seems to be a little too early for me, for the United States to be testing rockets and, you know, things like that. Now, you know, I suppose it could be a situation where they may have been testing, say, like some of the early versions of, what is it, when a jet fighter has the explosive escape if the plane's in jeopardy and, you know, it shoots the pilot out. I mean, I know that they were experimenting things like that fairly early on, but I don't know. It just seems to me that it's just a little too early for those kind of experiments to have been taking place.
An ejection seat, that's correct. Listen, the thing also is, we're talking about 1945. I think this was rather early to be experimenting with anything. We're trying to finish up this war, and to start getting involved in all this side stuff seems a stretch.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, it's, I think that people were just trying to, and, you know, bless his heart, I mean, I'm as big a fan of Jacques Vallée as you are, Gene, and I think that some people are, you know, trying to find, you know, some sort of explanation so as not to make him look bad for joining up with Paula Harris to do this book. But no, I doubt if there was any kind of experiments along those lines, you know, taking place. I think that Trinity was a hoax and that they got roped into it. I mean, it happens to the best of us.
Unfortunately, Valet and Harris are maintaining a bunker mode. They're not responding to criticisms other than the original one. This critical article came out. Valet had a response, which we also quoted in the Paracast forums. And that was it. When I wrote to Paula Harris and Jacques Vallée, she said no more interviews because of the low level of the conversation. And I don't think criticizing something that is to be disputed is a low level unless you attack somebody. I didn't see personal attacks. Now, maybe I missed some of the online commentary because we know that some people are ruthless about things like that. But the commentaries that I read were pretty straightforward and straight ahead.
Yeah, I've seen some negative trolling, you know, comments taking place. And I can't you know, I can't really say that I blame them because, okay, you know, I mean, you issue your statement in your defense, whatever, and then everything else is just, I mean, it just, it's beating a dead horse. You know, I mean, you can just go on and on and on with it, and, you know, people will just keep coming at you about it, and after a while it's just like, okay, enough is enough. So I mean, I could see why they would just, you know, make their statement and then be, you know, be like, well, that's it, you know, we're not going to get into it anymore because, you know, it's just pointless.
Brian, have you followed any of the controversy over the book Trinity?
A little bit, and I do have to say the one thing that stood out to me, much like Tim said, and before I even go on, thank you again for having me back, is if 45 seemed a little too early for the chimp experiments. I don't think the U.S. Air Force or any government officials are doing that until at least the mid-50s. As far as I know.
Yeah, that's correct, and the Air Force didn't even exist until what, you know, it didn't exist in 1945. It would have been what was it, the Army Air Force, or, you know, something like that. It was its own thing. But yeah, they weren't, you know, involved in any kind of you know, rocketary experiments or anything like that.
However, I also have to say, 1945 was a very weird year with, let's just say, scientists from different countries ending up in different countries and experiments happening and things going on that we'll never know.
Yeah, that's a lot of that, especially after the war ended, where scientists went to different countries. The spoils of war, shall we say, what they might have been.
Some people who probably should have been executed ended up getting very good, cushy jobs. You know,
that shows you a double standard, definitely. But I guess they figured this way. Look, they can contribute. They could be on careful watch. If they pull any stunts, they're toast. They'll die under mysterious circumstances, perhaps. But if they behave themselves, they can make a contribution, become famous, rich, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so who knows what was going on in 45? I mean, and you know, let's face it, a lot of things that happened after the war, there's no way any of that's ever going to come out. And I'm not trying to sound like I'm a conspiracy theorist guy, but you think they really kept records of a lot of stuff they were doing right after the war? I don't think so.
We do know that the United States brought over captured B-2 rockets, but I'd have to look up and see just exactly when they actually did some test flights there in the Southwest with the V-2, but I don't think it was as early as 1945. I think that was later, you know, because, you know, it's like you said, I mean, we were still trying to clean things up from the end of the war, and the, you know, certain scientists and intelligence officers that were being brought into the United States, you know, they had to be debriefed for quite a while. And as Gene said, you know, you behave yourself, or, you know, you'll end up mysteriously disappeared somewhere.
Yeah. See, my question would be, when did they bring things over and start experimenting them, and when did they admit to doing that?
Well, I would think at the tail end of the war, it would have taken months or years to get things together. It's not something that happens overnight. The end of the war has to be chaotic. They have to figure out what's happening, who's going where, how they're going to divvy up the spoils of the war, that sort of thing. Of course, there was heavy competition, probably a lot of quiet skullduggery to be involved, because skullduggery should always be on the quiet side. Brian Young is joining us. He's an expert on boxing and wrestling and a student of the paranormal. I didn't say paranormal wrestling. We have to wonder about that. Well, in terms of paranormal boxing, we know that the late Muhammad Ali was interested and saw a UFO, so I guess
we can call that. Absolutely. He believed wholeheartedly he saw a UFO. He believed in UFOs wholeheartedly.
That's what he told me. I interviewed him way back when. Brian, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So I'll just throw that out. Why do you think someone as esteemed as a Jacques Vallée would get caught up in something that Paula Harris got involved in? It's not that she has a stellar reputation for accuracy of reporting. Brian, what do you think?
I think sometimes you just get caught up in things and don't realize they're going to blow up and be as big as they are. And I think you just, Jacques kind of got caught up in the moment. It happens, happens to the best of us. Sometimes you don't really think about who or what you're talking to as well.
Well, the thing I think, though, is there ought to be some more definitive statements there. The first comments were mostly that the main critic was a Mr. Johnson, wasn't it, Tim?
Yeah.
That the main comments from Jacques were that he had gotten some facts wrong. But the core argument here, absent some errors, which we expect from something that happened so long ago, has not been refuted, you know, that this thing really didn't happen. I mean, if you read the writings of Kevin D. Randall in his different perspective, and by the way, Kevin will be back on the Paracast in a few weeks about his new book about the 1952 Washington, D.C. sightings and a lot of other good stuff, that there were lots of interviews in connection with Roswell, and they did, basically Randall and his cohorts, interview one or two of the people allegedly involved in this Trinity episode and came back unimpressed then. Well, it's like a joke that falls dead.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like Brian said. I mean, you know, I remember, and it's, God, I mean, it's been what, 5 years ago that I remember reading initially about this case. And at the time, I mean, it seemed, of course, I didn't do any legwork on it myself, but, you know, I mean, like a lot of stories that, you know, come out, I mean, it seemed legitimate. And then there was the aspect where there could have been a part of this craft that these kids had actually taken away, and then they hid it under, I think it was like the front porch of their house. And everybody was, you know, kind of like, you know, well, let's go back and find where this house was and dig that piece out. And that's kind of like, you know, that's the last that that I heard of the story. So, I mean, it was an intriguing story at the time. So, I mean, I could see where, you know, investigators like Valet would get interested in it. But like you said, Gene, teaming up with Paula Harris, you know, may not have been the best the best route for him to take. Possibly he let her do all the legwork, and then he did some based on his reputation, and now it's blown up in their faces.
Kind of sad because Valet's getting a bit on in years, and to have him possibly retire or go out after this particular episode is not a good way to wrap up a career.
No, and I'll tell you, the sad thing is that's all it takes. One mistake, signing on to something that gets, you know, let's face it, what came out might not even be what his research is. It might be, you know, that he added some stuff to it, but the finished product wasn't necessarily his views. We don't know for sure, but it's going to ruin his reputation for life. That's all it takes is once in your credibility shot.
Especially in this day and age where you have instant information, instant criticism, and before you have a chance to recover from anything, one single, possibly inadvertent mistake can cause lots of havoc.
Yeah, it used to be the other way around. It used to be one great success was all it took.
Mm-hmm.
There's the great story of Peter Bogdanovich talking to Orson Welles about Greta Garbo. And he said to Orson, you know, I love Garbo so much. It's just so sad she made so few good films. And Orson Welles said, it only takes one. You know, it's the opposite now.
And Orson Welles should know.
Yep, because, well, he had more than one, let's be fair.
Okay.
I prefer him as the shadow on radio. The only thing is here, I read somewhere, that the shadows laugh, you know, the that kind of thing. I'm not doing it well there, but the laugh from the shadow was made by someone else because Orson Welles couldn't do it.
If you like old-time radio and Orson Welles, check out the show he did called The Black Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Great series where he would, they would take an object from Scotland Yard's Black Museum, and every episode Orson Welles would tell a tale of this artifact. Great show.
You know, I grew up listening to radio. That ages me. But certainly you didn't have to look at anything. Radio was the theater of the mind. And I got to see how they wrote radio scripts just from listening. They would always say, I will pick up this object on the left side of the room next to the sofa. You're painting a picture in your dialogue of what you're doing and where you're doing it, plus limited sound effects. So that's one thing. It also meant you could sit there and do a radio show in your underwear, and nobody would see it. There's no camera to watch it. In fact,
just like this show, I'm in my underwear, right?
Sure. And just like that, when you actually saw photos of somebody doing a radio show, they were standing up before a microphone. They might be in the Wild West. They might be galloping after the criminals in the Lone Ranger or Superman flying in the sky. They didn't have to worry about wires and harnesses and CGI. You just say up, up, and away, and then you play the sound of the wind rustling, and suddenly Superman is flying.
Yeah, the legendary Mercedes McCambridge, one of the few people who was, award-winning star of radio, stage, screen, and television. And they asked her, when she was much older, of all the forms of entertainment, what was her favorite? And most people always said, oh, I prefer theater. And she says, radio, by far. Because when you do radio and you're in the audience and you're listening, you're the director, you're the producer, you're the set designer, you're the lighting technician, you're everything. It is complete theater of your mind.
I think also it helps improve one's imagination, which you don't really do now. Now everything has to be on the screen. So
exactly.
If Superman is flying, you've got the CGI. If you have any kind of special effects, even a fist fight, it's there for you to see every single detail, including the sets, which could cost a lot of money. But if you use radio, as you say, whatever you imagine to be true based on the sounds that you hear is true for you. By the way, we've got Brian, and we've got Gene, and we've got Tim, and we've got a lot more to talk about, including alleged UFO or UAP whistleblowers. How about that? You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Six people are dead after a plane crashed early Saturday morning in a field near the French Valley Airport in Murrieta, California. The FAA says the Cessna C-550 crashed and burst into flames. The plane had taken off from Harry Reid International Airport in Las Vegas. The FAA and NTSB are investigating. Arizona is not expected to get a break from what the National Weather Service in Phoenix is calling some of the worst heat wave the area has ever seen. People telling Fox 10 Phoenix they either love the heat or hate it.
I think it's just
yucky. I'm glad I work inside.
I enjoy coming out here and getting the sweat.
Excessive heat is expected for at least another week. Tyler Bench, a January 6th Capitol Building rioter who used bear spray, has received a lenient sentence from U.S. District Judge Trevor McFadden. The Trump-appointed judge sentenced Bench to probation and 60 days home arrest. Prosecutors had sought a nine-month federal prison term. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, this is James Fox, director of The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
As we continue with our discussion with Brian Young, we're going to focus now on whistleblowers, one or more real or imagined. Now, just as a beginning here, when Kevin Randall and Don Schmidt and all the rest of the people were involved in their Roswell investigations, they got to talk with some alleged whistleblowers who had information that may or may not have been confirmed, but at least it painted a picture that something mysterious may have happened in 1947 in Roswell, and it wasn't a Moga balloon or some other kind of more common issue. Now, the reason we mention that is because in recent months, we heard about a guy named David Grush, who is a supposed whistleblower for the Pentagon's UAP project. Supposedly, he worked for them and then came out in public and said, I'm a whistleblower, and I think he did get the proper government status as one, saying that they were hiding information about off-world technology, events involving off-world craft, possibly off-world entities. And, you know, it would sound like it's almost a dream come true, because the original article appeared in Debrief, an online newspaper covering military, Pentagon, and UFOs and such. And it was written by Ralph Blumenthal, a Pulitzer Prize retired reporter from the New York Times, Leslie Kane, who's a reporter who's written about UFOs and the paranormal. And they introduced this guy as having the information that could blow the lid off what the government knows about UFOs. But now we get into the stratosphere here, and that is, does he really know anything, or is he just relating stuff he's heard from other people? Is he making it up? What do you think, Brian?
I think, as a skeptic, and an open-minded skeptic. Like I always try to tell people, I'm not a debunker. I'm a skeptic. I want evidence. I'm not going to run with anything or believe anything till I'm given evidence. The problem with a whistleblower like this, there's no evidence put forward. And it's such a sexy story that every media outlet's going to pick up on it, from the mainstream media to the conservative media to the liberal media. Everybody jumped on the whistleblower says we have aliens, but not a mad proof. And then if nothing comes up, if no proof is given, whether or not the guy's telling the truth or not, every debunker is going to say it's all BS, and that proves everything anybody's ever said about aliens is BS. Believers are going to believe it because they're going to claim he has credibility, again, without evidence. It really, it hurts the field more than it helps it. If something like this came along and it stayed quiet, it stayed underground until some evidence could be brought out from this whistleblower, much better. The industry as a whole, the side of the skeptics, the side of the debunkers, the side of the believers, are not helped by this type of whistleblowing. They can only be hurt. And I think already they're being hurt, because you're already seeing people say, it's been several months and nothing's come forward, so I guess it was all garbage. And that'll be the headline.
That's a question we all have to ask. Why is this guy doing it if he can't produce the goods? Or maybe he thought if he said that, it would encourage investigations to find what he may have heard about. Now, supposedly, last I heard, New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, one of the people who's been involved in the UAP programs and setting it up in U.S. Congress, wants to have this guy testify. Now, if he testifies under oath on penalty of perjury, well, then it would give it more significance because he could get himself in a real heap of trouble.
He could, but a lot of people still do. Testify under oath and lie happens every day. Kirsten Gillibrand, I'm a New Yorker, remember, folks, so she's got more important things to worry about, I think. As a New Yorker, I'm just saying that. Love you, Gov, but you got more important things to worry about than getting this guy to testify right now. As far as getting him under oath, the only thing I could see it doing is maybe bringing some other people public, but it'll bring people public to bash him or give him credibility. But even if his supervisors come forward and say, yeah, he's credible, still, I don't see any evidence. And it doesn't appear that he has the evidence. He's just saying that it's there. It's like me telling you there's my $1 million is over there. I can't show it to you, but just trust me, I have it.
Well, we had that kind of testimony in the U.S.
Yes.
House where they claimed there are things about a certain political figure or the relative of same, but when you ask them for information, it's zilch. It doesn't exist. But in a case like this, this guy is making a very important claim. And I would think that going before the U.S. Senate in a hearing, possibly the Intelligence Committee, I assume, he's going to be asked some hard questions.
More than likely. Will he be able to answer them? Will it be televised? If there really is something that the government wants to hide, do you think they're going to allow the public to see his testimony? Or do they want people to see his testimony so they don't believe him? It's a weird case. I think the media jumping all over it from the get-go, blowing it out of proportion, really hurt any case there is to be made for this guy.
Now, the story about the Cain and Blumenthal piece is that they first submitted it to the New York Times, where previous articles have been published. The Times wanted to take time to vet the story. Ditto with the Washington Post. And for whatever reason, the brief was given the story next, and they released, and they have a lot of information about the background of the story. But if you think of the Times and the Post are holding off, they probably wanted to check it out. Like, for example, when the Times piece came out on UAPs beginning in 2017, there was a third author, Helene Cooper, who was the Pentagon correspondent for the Times. And one would think they would have asked her, to check around her sources to see if she could verify this. That's a problem. Maybe they were just too over-anxious to get that story in print and didn't vet it as much as they should have. And maybe that's why we didn't see it in the Times or the Post.
I don't think anything in the media is vetted the way it once was. We live in an instant information society, which is why, with the exception of some major ones, newspapers are dead, and even the major ones are dying. They can't hold off to completely vet everything the way they used to for credibility's sake, or they're beaten to the punch on every story.
You do have stories involving investigative reporting. You see it in the Times and the Post, and they win Pulitzers for it. But the problem is there aren't that many because they don't have the staffs anymore, as you say. They don't have the staffs, they cut back, and they can't do investigative reporting. It's hard enough to keep up with the current press of events. And doing backgrounders, disclosing information from background sources, that sort of thing, it does go on occasionally. But most of the mediums are pretty well gone now. They're not like it used to be. Sure. Now, in terms of the Times, I think most of their money these days comes from digital content, not from the physical sales of the newspaper. So if you go on to the New York Times website, you can see a small number of articles free. And then if you wish to see everything, you have to pay a monthly fee. Ditto for the Washington Post and a lot of other publications. The Wall Street Journal doesn't give you anything free, I don't think. And that's how they survive. That's how they pay the bills. But as you say, this is, if a real story comes over, how do you allocate staff to check it out, like something like this? But if you go to a smaller outlet with maybe more personal service, you can get it through. We've got more with Ryan and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you love mysteries, you'll love these two books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll learn about the strange beings that can look like us, but are not. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll see the hard evidence of UFOs that has been ignored or even hidden. These books will definitely blow your mind, and both are now available on Amazon.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Long and short, Mr. Friendly Skeptic, is this something that's just going to go away after a while? What?
I think to the mainstream, it's already gone away. I think it ran its course over about a week and a half to the common person. And then, you know, the Titanic sub came along and everybody forgot about the UFOs and they were concerned about the Titanic sub. And, you know, something's going to happen tomorrow and they'll all forget about it. The general public nowadays in the information age has a very short attention span. Now, it won't go away with people who are interested in the subject. It's going to linger. And it's going to cause infighting, which will be interesting. That's why I can't wait to hear you have Kevin Randall on, because that's going to be a fun show to hear his take on how it's going to affect the future of the field. But I think to the common man on the street, I think it's gone already. I think it passed its cycle.
With Kevin Randall, his argument so far, and he'll be very specific about it when it comes on the show, is that we've been there, done that with whistleblowers. And so why is this guy any different? Unless he produces something, he can claim anything. I mean, it's not as if he'll lose his job if he makes a wacky claim on the side. In fact, it may serve their interests. If there are people there who want to hide information about what UFOs are, having this guy come out in public is only going to help the case.
It's different this time. Not so much as it's different from the whistleblowers in the 50s, but in the time in between then and now. The difference now is the online world has allowed conspiracy theory to run wild. The online world has made everybody have updated information every few seconds at the tips of their hands. People who have interest in any subject can get information on it from 100 different sources, none of which are verifying the sources or vetting it instantaneously. And it's a sexy story that'll grab headlines for a day.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, here. I have this theory I've voiced a few times, and we can delve in it and then get more back to that subject. That if tomorrow a high government official, possibly even the president, said, we have evidence that some UAPs may have an off-world origin, in other words, they come from another world, and we continue to investigate, but there is no indication that they represent a threat to national security. I can imagine that kind of statement being made. And hitting the headlines for a day or two. And then the press of events will take over, the latest political scandal will take over, something in Ukraine will be reported, maybe another mass shooting. All these things will combine to divert your attention from this announcement, which is possibly one of the most momentous in history, if it's true. The other thing, of course, is because of our crazy society, We have one half of one of the major political parties in the U.S. saying, that guy isn't even president. How can we believe him?
Yeah, well, and what will also happen is if someone were to come out and make that announcement tomorrow, which sort of like everyone thought when Bill Clinton got elected president, he was going to open up the JFK files and say, look, it was a conspiracy. I'm going to open up all the files. Well, it didn't happen. And then people thought Trump was going to open up all the UFO files and show everybody the truth. Well, that didn't happen either. But let's say it does happen. Let's say tomorrow Joe Biden holds a press conference and says, all right, we've been dealing with aliens for the past 50 years. They're all friendly. Everything's good. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to see here. Go about your business. There's the announcement. Half of the people will say he's lying. Half the people are saying, how can we trust him now if they've been lying to us forever? They've been telling us it doesn't exist. Now they're claiming it does. Which one's true? It's disinformation. So you're only going to get a percentage of people believing you no matter what you say.
You see, that's part of the problem, too. We have people from the 50s on urging that the government disclose what it really knows about UFOs, saying the government is lying to us. They're lying to us about this, that, and the other thing. Okay, fine. The government lies. And I think everybody agrees that in some areas, the government lies for reasons known to themselves. I could see national security. I could see other reasons. I could see political reasons. They lie. And we hope that at least some of the things they say are all or mostly true, and so we can get on with our lives. But then if you're telling us the government is an organization that lies, if the government lies to us, why would a revelation of UFO reality be treated any differently? That's the conundrum there for disclosure. Why believe the government if they admit something when you accept the fact that they lie all the time?
Exactly. But like you said, a lot of the times the government will lie for a purpose. Do you know how many, and this is personal belief, I can't say this is 100% true or not, but do you know how many experimental aircraft or weapons were tested in the 50s and 60s that people probably mistook for UFOs and reported them as UFO sightings, and the government covered it up by saying, there's nothing there, it's swamp gas, whatever. Because they couldn't let this technology get out, or it caused world problems. I'm sure that happened all the time. Now, is that lying, or is that covering up to protect? There's a difference. If they were to come out and say, all right, here it is, here's the evidence, here's the photo of me and the guy that was on the cover of the Weekly World News all those times, and it's real. People are still not going to believe it. Out of their political beliefs, the people that hate him will say it's a lie because he said it. And that's with either party now. Our country is so divided and so split, it makes disinformation so easy to spread that luckily our attention span is short enough for things to get lost after one news cycle.
So if anyone is hoping there will be a final answer to the UFO mystery, whatever it is. Maybe it was all just test aircraft. Maybe there is some element of the paranormal in there. Whatever it is, we'll never know it because we won't believe the answer.
I'll believe it when Gort shows up and makes everything, you know, stand still.
Gort. Klaatu, Barada, Nikto.
But I'm a skeptic by nature. I don't believe that I've seen anything or know for a fact that we have anything, but I don't doubt that it's a possibility. But without evidence, I'm not going to believe it. I'm also not going to believe it if someone tells me it's true just when they don't show any evidence. And that's the problem with this whistleblower. He came forward, said a bunch of stuff, but really didn't have anything to back it up.
This is the conundrum. Whether you believe in UFOs or not, let's separate that. Let's look at this guy, David Grush. I am not criticizing him personally because I don't know him. I've only read what he claims. He's entitled to claim anything he wants. No harm done. Unless you believe in and act upon it, then there could be some harm, I guess. But he talks about interdimensional UFOs, about bodies, about off-world craft. Doesn't produce a bit of it, and I have to think, what was he thinking to come forward with these claims when he knew he couldn't prove anything?
I think he was thinking he might get this is speculation, of course, this is allegedly, but he could have been thinking, maybe a Lazar-type Netflix series out of it. Or maybe he's telling the truth. The problem is we don't have any evidence to back it up either way.
If he is telling the truth, it all depends on the sources he has of coming forward to confirm what he has to say. They don't have to. Nobody compels them. And even then, assuming this guy had top secret clearance, there are things he can't say without getting himself in a heap of trouble. So going this far, the fact that he's allowed to do it would, in my point of view, think that they don't care. They figure he can say anything he wants because it's not going to change anything. They will just go on doing what they're doing. The same thing might be true with Luis Elizondo. So he has this high position with the original UAP investigative projects, and there is some dispute over that level of authority. Whatever. Luis Elizondo has been in the public eye since 2017. A little less than 6 years as we do this show. But what has he done or said that takes us one step closer towards some real revelations about UFOs? There are things he can't tell because he had a security clearance. He certainly came out of it without a lot of knowledge about the history of the UFO field. That's not part of what he does. It's like a lot of these people, they come on and they treat UFOs as something brand new, not something that's been around since the end of World War II and possibly before. Brian Young, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz, you're in
the Pericast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.